WGN with Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Hey, Bob, how are you today?
Doing well, John. How about yourself?
Good. You get rain out your way in the last few days?
You know, actually, I was out of town the last few days, but I heard we had some significant rains. Unfortunately, the way when it comes down like that, so fast and furious, it just rolls off. It doesn't really have time to absorb into the soil. So from what I've heard, we had some pretty heavy rains, though.
Yeah, some folks got 4 or 5 inches, and some got zero or just a sprinkling. I'm on the zero end, and some of my colleagues saw 4.5 inches in a day. How about that?
That's a lot, and I'm sure most of that just rolled off. I know I just looked up at O'Hare to date, and we're still, based on the O'Hare totals, we're still about 0.5 inch behind normal for the month.
It's going to be cooler this week. Bob, you've been advising us that it's really too warm for the seeds if you were going to plant grass. But we've got a patch here coming up of 7-8 days where it's going to be cooler. Could folks plant some grass seeds now if they're doing some maybe patching in their lawn?
The only one that's really probably going to germinate is going to be, annual ryegrass, which pretty much will germinate almost all year. It's a very prolific seeder, and it'll germinate, but it only lives for the season, and then it dies. The problem is, even though the air temperatures are going to be cooler, it's the soil temperatures, and there's a lag effect. If the air drops 10 degrees, it's going to take 10 days for the soil to drop 10 degrees. So it's a condition of the soil temperature that helps promote germination, not just the air temperature. You can try it. I'm not going to say it's not going to germinate, but the odds are that it'll come in sparse if you try and seed right now.
Well, it's not ideal. So I put down fertilizer over the weekend because you said I could, even though it's been hot and dry. I thought that would burn the lawn. I haven't looked at it lately to see if I'm injuring it, but then we did get a little bit of rain. I felt good about that. But just to reiterate, that it's hot and dry doesn't mean that you can't still fertilize your lawn. Right, Bob?
Correct. And if you follow the label, follow the instructions, if you can't, if it's a quick-release nitrogen, it might have a warning on it, do not apply in hot weather. Most synthetic fertilizers, though, have a polycoat on them where they break down slowly with water and the air breaks it down. They're mostly slow-release on the market. If you found something maybe in the back of your garage, definitely read the label before you just go putting it down when it's 90 degrees out.
A listener sent me this email. What are good numbers to look for on a bag of fertilizer for a second and third application? Most are high nitrogen, 2803, 3002. I applied some starter fertilizer yesterday, this listener says, to an established lawn after the day's rain with numbers 10, 18, 6. I don't want a chance of burning out spots from too much nitrogen. So if they've already got 10, 18, 6 down, Bob, what do they do now?
Well, usually your starter fertilizers, it's that middle number that's higher. That helps promote the roots to uptake that up the nutrient. The 10% nitrogen is not actually that high, but it's going to be a quick-release nitrogen. That starter fertilizer is put down strictly to help germination, and that little bit of nitrogen is just to give it like a spoon feeding.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are dealing with new seeding, I'm assuming they put down starter fertilizer because they just seeded or it's a newly established seeding. Be careful on how much nitrogen you want to put down because you really want to promote root growth, and nitrogen promotes top growth, and then the plant is going to say, okay, I don't have deep enough roots, I can't get up more nutrients, and now you're stressing me out. So be careful. Every condition is different to use it. There's no generic analysis you can use. Shady doesn't tolerate as much nitrogen, so it all depends on your stand of turf, what type of grass it is. I can't just give you a blanket, get a 10-10-10 fertilizer, because every situation's a little different.
This does say an established lawn. I don't know why this guy was late to the game then, applying it in mid-June, the first course, but so maybe he's got decent roots, but you do need to pay attention to that first number, the nitrogen. You don't want too much to go down, right?
Correct.
Okay. 312-981-7200. One other quick question for you, Bob, and I suspect you're going to say you need to get an arborist on this, but I talked to a friend who has about a 3-year-old birch tree that they really love, and it's been doing well, and now the bark is peeling in several places, and they think even the leaves are turning brown in some spots, and they worry that it's cicada damage. Is it too late to save a tree? What do you think about that situation?
Well, birch trees are in a funny situation right now. With the heat that we've just had, birch trees are one of the first ones to, the natural reaction for a birch tree is to shed its leaves. It says, okay, I can't feed all you guys. I'm going to drop some of you. So you'll see some yellowing and some dropping. If they're turning brown and there's just like flags of it at the tips of the branches, that probably is cicada damage, where you might lose the tip of that branch. And the bark, the comment about the bark, it could just be the type of birch tree that it is, because it's very common for like a river birch to, the bark kind of peels and it looks like it's shedding bark. But be careful, if whole limbs are brown, it's a problem. If they're just yellow, it's a tree's natural defense to just save energy. And if it's just brown at the tips where the flags are, it's most likely cicada damage.
And should you water trees this year, Bob, since some of us aren't getting as much rain as we'd like, or the rain ran off too fast anyway?
We're coming off of a decent spring where we had plenty of moisture, but if this hot, dry weather continues, excluding those drenching rains, because you can't count those, then, you know, coming into July here, we got to watch the weather. We might have to give some supplemental watering for the trees to keep those roots. You want those roots to get below the surface, go deep. And if you water deeply with a root feeder, it's going to encourage those roots to go deep.
That's interesting. Hey, Bob, can we uncover our new trees now with that cicada blanket?
Every day I'm seeing more and more dead carcasses on the ground, and I hear fewer and fewer in the trees. So, yeah, we are like probably a week away from them completely being gone. And then people need to remember, though, you're still going to get your annual cicadas, which come out typically in middle to late July, and they're around for another month. But they don't do nearly the damage at the billions that we saw.
Okay, so wait one more week maybe and then take the nets off?
Yeah, I take the netting off. You're fine.
Bob Bertog, president of Bertog Landscape Company, here to answer our questions about our lawns and whatnot. You ready for some calls, Bob?
Sure.
Let's talk to Steve. You're on WGN. Steve, what can we do for you?
Hey, Bob, I just appreciate the show that you guys do on WGN. Bob, I wanted to ask you a quick question. We have a new home with new sod. This is our second year. Is it okay just to fertilize in the spring with the spring fertilization and in the fall only, especially with the big heat over the summer? We have new sod.
Well, I'd like to see it get at least four feedings a year because it is new, and those roots are still working their way being established. But if you had to pick, one fertilization of the year, the most important one is the fall. Second most important is the spring. But I'd still, because it is a relatively new stand of turf, I would like to see a total of four applications, so you get 4 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet.
Okay. Well, you got two of the big ones in, but might not be a bad idea this year to do all four. Steve, good luck to you. How about Ray? You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Ray?
Hello, gentlemen. 2 weeks ago, my landscaper planted a 5-foot evergreen tree in my front yard, and he told me to water it about 5 minutes a day for the first 2 weeks. Well, it's been 2 weeks, and some of the branches now are starting to turn like a brownish yellowish. I don't know whether I'm underwatering it or overwatering it. Do you have any suggestions on that?
Let's assume he's still listening. His line just cut, but he's listening. Bob, what's the answer to that?
Well, the answer is that what you can do is take like any sort of probe or even a big butcher knife and cut down into the soil. And if it's hard to push it into there, then it's not enough water. If it's super easy and it comes out muddy, it's too much water. Also, take a look at the branches. If it's the tips that are browning, sometimes with installation with evergreens, you don't even have to break the tip. Like even an arborvitae, if you bend it through installation, you know, you're roughing it up a little bit around the edges, it can take a hit, and if you bend the branch a little too hard, it's kind of like a bruise, and then that tip might brown out. You can just prune it out. So there's a million different things you can look at, but if you're concerned about the water and use some sort of a probe or even dig down with a shovel, and you'll get a feel for if it's, you know, you could be sitting in a bowl of clay too, depending on what kind of soil you have surrounding that ball.
Oh, does that mean that, so you can't anticipate that maybe, but you're going to find out that's a bad spot for the tree then, right?
Well, or just always remember when you dig a hole for the tree, dig it half again, 50% bigger than what the size of the root ball is. So you can backfill it with
that's true.
Good compost and topsoil and stuff. So you have a nice a nice medium for the roots to come out of the root ball and you know, get nutrients.
I have a 40-foot, 20-year-old pine tree that was totally healthy. All of a sudden, all the needles turned brown. The trunk and bark still look healthy. Wonder what's going on with that tree for this person, Bob.
Depends on what kind of a pine tree it is. If it's an Austrian pine, it's 20 years old, probably has borers. If it's a white pine, probably same thing. A lot of people get mixed up mixing pines and spruce trees. If it's a spruce tree, it could be a disease called rhizosphera. You know, without actually seeing, I could just keep licking off some things that it could be. But you have to, I'd have to see a picture of it or see it in person to really get a real true evaluation of it.
Bob is on line two, and it says here, has a question about cicadas / crisis of conscience. Bob, you're on WGN. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. I've got a 30-year-old birch that I was cutting down some unsightly branches. You know, after a while, they just start hanging down, and I was waiting for the cicadas to disappear. They did, so I cut the branches down over the weekend. As I got to the, cutting them into smaller pieces at the ends, I saw literally hundreds of the slits with the cicada eggs in them. So, you know, I've heard, you know, put them back in the mulch or whatever, you know, let it continue the cycle of life. But then I read yesterday, it's weeks until those things hatch. And I really don't want to have these branches sitting in, my ground cover for weeks.
Yeah.
Am I materially affecting the cicada population in 17 years if I just ditch them?
Or maybe you're compromising the future health of your lawn because those are supposed to be good. Bob, your thoughts?
I would just clean it up and not have a guilty conscience about it. I would just move on. Call me harsh, but I would rather have a clean garden and get rid of the branches. And 17 years from now, you're not going to remember that you did it anyway.
You don't care about
I didn't say that.
Bob Bertog's answer. Thank you, sir. Bob, you do what you do, sir. What about Mary on line four? You're on WGN. Mary, what can we do for you?
Hi, Bob. I'd like to know what I can do about Creeping Charlie. I have just pulled everything, and I've put mulch on everything. What else can I do about Creeping Charlie? Because it doesn't stop creeping.
Again, it's a selective herbicide, and Creeping Charlie is one of the most hard-to-control weeds in your turf and in your beds. Hit it with a herbicide. This is the one where you come back a week later and spot spray it again, and because it'll knock it back. Actually, the best time to spray it is in the spring and in the fall when it's flowering, but you can do it now, too. If it's still being very invasive, go ahead and spray it and then hit it again in 10 days to 14 days.
That's where we'll leave it today. Thanks for the calls. I'm sorry we can't get to them all. We answer as many texts and phone calls as we can. You can also call Bob yourself. He's the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, thanks again for your help.
Thanks, John. Have a great week.